Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoro Stuff, Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we were discussing different types of ailments that would constitute a mum, a blemish, that would thereby enable us to slaughter a firstborn male animal. Without a blemish, a firstborn male animal is considered a korban, is a sacrifice, and hence forbidden to slaughter outside the Beis HaMikdash. We mentioned that in order to determine whether an eye ailment mentioned in the Mishnah, which was called Mayim Hakvuim, in order to establish that it is in fact a mum, the animal would have had to go through a type of medicinal grass eating in order to determine this situation. The Gemara got into details of how much time and when it eats it, and the end of our previous year spoke about the quantity of this hay that it must eat in order to see if it gets better. And now the Gemara at the very bottom line of Lamed Chesom Beis, Omar Ula, Boi B'Marova, it was asked in Eretz Yisrael, Kigrogeres is the amount that it must eat of this hay in order to have medicinal value. A grogeres is a size of a dried fig. Bisuda rishoyna, is it eaten at the animal's first meal that it eats every day? Oidilma bisuda b'chol suda osuda, or is it a grogeres amount that the animal eats at every meal that it consumes? There will be a list of questions that build up one on the other, all in this vein, as we go on the next few lines of Gemara. Im tim salomar besuda rishona, if you establish that it's only during the first meal that it must eat this in order to serve as a remedy, koidem achila oi la'achar achila, is it before it eats? In other words, it eats this grogeres quantity of hay on an empty stomach, or after it has eaten? So the Gemara says, "Koidem achila vade mali lo." Before it eats, namely eating this on an empty stomach, will certainly be of benefit. Kisamo, as a medicine. La'achar achila mai. What about if it were to eat this after its meal? Koidem shtia o la'achar shtia. Before it drinks or after it drinks? Koidem shtia vade mali le kisairi. If it would eat the hay, this fig quantity of hay before drinking, that will certainly be beneficial to it. The Gemara says, like barley. The Rashi says, Kodem shtia vale mali le kisairi, shederech behema tohuro lechol sa'urim kodem shtia. It's the way of kosher variety animals to eat barley before they drink. The Gemara goes on with its questions. La'achar shtiyomai, what about it's eating this hay after it drinks? Will that have medicinal value? Kosher o muter, is the hay bound together, tied up, or loose? Muter vadai mali lei. The Gemara observes that if it were loose, it certainly would have medicinal value. Kosher mai, what about if it's tied up? Levadoi oi im chavero. When the animal eats, is it eating with other animals or is it eating by itself? Levado, by itself, im chaver, with other animals. So once again, the Gemara points out, im chavero valai mali lei. With other animals, it will certainly have a positive effect. Animals take pleasure in being with others. Levadomai, what about if it's by itself? Be'ir oi basode. When it eats it, is it in the city environment or in a field? Besode vadai malile. In the field, it certainly would have medicinal value. There's good air out in the fields. Be'ir mai. What about in the city? Boy Ravashi, im timsalomer basode. If you say that it would need to eat it when in the fields in order to experience its medicinal value. Gino hasmuchale ir mai. What about a patch of ground that's used for raising vegetables, a gina, sometimes called a garden, that's near a city? Is that considered like a field, like an open field, or not? Teku. So this remains unresolved. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer, Boikin oisoi shloisha pomim besoich shmoinim yoim. The state of affairs of the animal's eye must be checked out three times over the period of 80 days. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak ubavad shiu mishuloshim. The three times that Rabbi Chanina mentions in the Mishnah must be the 80-day period must be divided into thirds. Mishuloshim from word shlish or shaloish, meaning into thirds. The Rashi points out, and we'll read the Rashi together. A few lines up from here on in the Rashi commentary, he says shiu mishuloshim l'shloisha chalokim, three parts. Take the 80, divide into three parts. Shim yirenu hayom, if you see the eye problem today, yivdekenu mikan liyoim chavav v'chetzi, then you check it out 26 and a half days later, v'hoder liyoim esrim shishav esrim v'chetzi, and then another 26 and a half days after that. That would get you to the day 53. V'hoder liyoim chav zayin. And that's another 27 days after that. That gets you to the levu shmon, and that gets you to the 80 days. L'fisha b'sholosh zmanim halolu derech oiso hamum la'avor v'enoi nireh v'ave le'mum oiver. Rashi points out that it's because during these three time periods, it's common for this eye problem to pass away, to cease to be present, and hence it would be a transitory mum, which would not enable me to slaughter this bechor. Now, we could turn back to the Gemara. We notice that we have a long question marking that accompanies this. The shin that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicates a long question. Boy minei Pinchas achva demar Shmuel mishmuel. Shmuel's brother, who's named Pinchas, he asks a question concerning sanctified animals in general. His question is not focusing on the Bechor. A Bechor is something that does not have a redemption option. But what about other, he's going to be speaking about other sacrifices that when they develop a blemish, they can be redeemed. The money is set aside for the purchase of other sacrifices, and the animal in which the mum developed is then slaughtered for eating. So Pinchas asks of his brother Shmuel, Ochal velo itzi. Let's say the animal ate the hay in the way prescribed by the Mishnah, and the animal's eyes did not get better. So we know that this is a mum. It's past the test, so to speak, for establishing a mum. Now the question is, l'mafreya havi muma oi mikan ulo habo havi muma? Is this said to be an animal with a mum l'mafreya retroactively? In other words, now that 80 days have gone by and it didn't get healed, do we say that this phenomenon was this animal was considered a baal mum from the very beginning, or o mikan ulo habo havi muma, or from this point onward? it is considered a mum. Lamai nafkamina, what practical difference is there in with regard to this analysis? Answer, lemimal befidyono, for one to have been in violation of mi'ila. Mi'ila is the unsanctioned benefit that one receives from things that are of a holy nature. So would a person be oiver on mi'ila, this for prohibition of benefiting from kochim? And here the question is, would he be guilty retroactively? Now, what are we talking about? So Rashi points out, we're talking about a case where the you have an animal who appeared to be tiri, and he immediately set aside redemption money, making an assumption that this is a blemish. And he said that he wants the sanctity of the animal that is now teary-eyed to be transferred onto this money. So then they went on, after he set aside money for its redemption, they didn't do anything with the animal yet. They waited the 80 days, did the checkings over the course of the thirds of the 80-day period, and the teary eye phenomenon remained. So we now know that it's a Baal Mum. What about the money that was set aside before we had known that it was a Baal Mum? Is a person who set aside the money, we'll say prematurely or that early in time, and then benefits from that money, uses it to buy a shirt, is he over on Me'ilo or not? E'amris l'mafreya have a muma mo'il. If you say that at the end of the 80-day period, this establishes retroactively that it was a Baal Mum from the beginning, that means that it was something that was subject to redemption, and the redemption money that was set aside was a real, true redemption. And hence, that money became holy from the beginning. The I mikanu labo havi muma lo moil. If, however, the establishing of a mum is only from the point, from the end of the 80 days onwards, so the money that was set aside at the beginning of the 80-day period wasn't money that could have been used for redemption. You can't redeem something until it's established to be a Baal Mum. So if it's not a Mum retroactively, then the original redemption wasn't the redemption. Then it didn't get the holiness of the animal. And hence, benefit from that money wouldn't have resulted in the Mi'ilah violation. So this is all Pinchas' question to his brother Shmuel. Kori Shmuel Ole, Shmuel, upon hearing this question, referred to his brother Pinchas as follows. Pischim Bozuzu Boz. The Rashi explains this. If we look in the Rashi, Kori Shmuel Ole, Hai Kro, Pischim Bozuzu Boz, Davidovar Shein Adah Sevelis, Shiuchigrim Bezizun Bezis. Something that a person could not imagine, and that is a lame individual collecting booty in a war. Lame individuals would have a great difficulty running and gathering booty. Klomar, ato eincho mechudod, you, Shmuel says to Rabbi Pinchas, you're not the sharpest one in the house. V'sha'alta she'elo kazu she'en yadea tshuva, and you ask such an impressive question, so incisive, that I don't have an answer. So the pasuk that was cited here was to show something that's hard to believe. And likewise, Shmuel says to his brother, it's hard to believe that you're asking such an incisive question, so much so that I don't have an answer for it. As we go on in the Gemara, we now turn to the nose and blemishes that affect that area. Chotmo shenikev v'shenifgam v'shenistak, a chotem, a nose that has a hole in it that's mutilated or cracked. Svomo she nikva she nifgama she nistaka. The same types of problems, in this case svomo, the lip.
Tan Rabbanan, Nikfu Chaitmin Ze L'Toch Ze. If when dealing with the animal's nose, we focus on its nostrils, so if there's a hole from one to the other, so the Brisa says, Mi Bachutz Hare Ze Mum. If the hole is noticeable from the outside, then it would be a mum. Mi bifnim, if it's a hole that's only internal, that only once you cut the animal's nose open or you stick your finger in deep into the nose will you perceive that there's a hole in the partition between the two nostrils, that's eino mum. That would not be a mum. Svamo shenikva vishe nifgema vishe nizdika amar Rav Papa tura bora disifte. Rav Papa explains that we're talking about the outer edge of its lip, and if it has any of these problems, it has a hole, it's been mutilated or cracked, then you have a problem of mum. Now we read a Mishnah that had been referenced in the Gemara in earlier sukkis. A few dapim ago. Here we're talking about the teeth. Chutin ha-chitzenis. This I have seen translated as its incisors, as opposed to molars. The incisors being teeth that are let's say, positioned midway in its mouth, as opposed to molars, which are positioned in the back of its mouth. So chutin ha-chitzenis shenif gemu v'shenig memu. If the chutim hachitzenis, these are the incisors, are chipped or are leveled, so that would constitute a mum. The hapnimis shenekru, with regard to the inner ones, then if it's uprooted. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer ein bodkin min hatiyomes ulefnim v'af lo es hatiyomes. The term tiomis is a reference to the molars. These are large teeth. They're so large, one looks like two. And hence the word tiomis, or like the word matimos, applies to the molars. A twin, obviously, is two that are together. So that two teeth that are together, one large tooth, looks like two regular sized teeth, and hence this term is used for the molars. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, the opening of which is not so clear, and the Gemara after the Tanaic source, you can see after the frame section, the Gemara asks, "My Ka'omar, what is this source talking about?" So realizing that there are problems, we start the source and then learn the Gemara afterwards to see what the problems here are. Eizehu hatiyomis. Min hatiyomis ulefnim. Utiyomis atzmo kilefnim. That would mean that the tiyomis itself is considered like something inner, and it wouldn't be a blemish, and hence you wouldn't be able to slaughter a b'chor if there's a problem regarding the molars. Rabbi Shua ben Kfusoi Omer Ein Shochtin Elo Al Hachitzenis Bilvad. This comment would sound very similar to the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said that the tiomis, the molars, are considered internal and hence don't present a mum problem. And Rabbi Shua ben Kfusoi says that only the outer teeth are to be reckoned with as far as establishing as a mum. So they seem to say the same thing. The Gemara will deal with that. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Oimer Ein Mashgichin al Hatiyomis Kol Iker. That means that it wouldn't even become possible for the Mizbeach if there is a problem with regard to the molars. My Ka'omar. The first question is, what is the opening of this source saying? It opened up by saying, what is the tiomis? And then it says, from the tiomis and inwards. Visu, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoi, Hainu Tanakama, as we explained, they seem to be saying the same thing, and that can't be. If they appear in the same source, they must be arguing. The Gemara answers, Chisurei Mechasra V'Hachi Katani. This source is was abbreviated, but with the following will reveal its fuller meaning. Ezehu Hapnimis. The Mishnah made reference to the Pnimis. It mentioned Chutim Hachitzonis, and then it said Hapnimis. What is the Pnimis? What is meant by the inner? And we saw already in the Mishnah that when it came to the when it comes to the inner, they represent a problem only if they're uprooted, not if they're chipped or leveled. So it's important to know what is meant by the Pnimis, and hence the Brisa deals with that. Ezul Apnimis min hatyomis ulifnim, from the molars and inward. Utyomis asmo kilifnim, and the tyomis itself has a din of an inner has having an inner status. And as such, those things that are called inner don't represent a problem as or don't establish a blemish. When we said that we won't slaughter an animal based on a problem with regard to the inner teeth, the molars, that's only if we're talking about it being chipped or leveled. But if they've been uprooted, then that would constitute a sufficient blemish for allowing the slaughter of it, of the bechor. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kusoy Omer, Ein shochten elo al hachitzonis. Shechita of a bechor is allowed only if there is a problem with regard to the outer teeth. Avol panimius shenekru mishchat lo shachtinon. Avol if suli mifsal. So Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that with regard to the panimius, even if they're uprooted, that wouldn't give one license for shechting the bechor, for slaughtering the bechor outside the Beis HaMikdash. So we dashed underline lo shechting. This is in contrast with the Tanakhama that said if the inner ones are ne'ekru, you are allowed to shech. So this is a difference. We wanted to see the difference between the two opinions. According to Rabbi Yeshua, even if they're uprooted, you don't have license to shecht the bechor. Avol if suli mifsal, but if the inner teeth have been uprooted, it cannot be brought anymore as a sacrifice on the mizbeach. But as we said, that's not enough reason for it to be allowed to a commoner outside the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Oimer, ein mashgichin al hatiemis kol ikur, vafilu if suli lo ifsal. We don't pay any attention to the inner teeth, to the molars, and it wouldn't a problem with them, seemingly, even if they're uprooted, won't even cause it to be puzzle as for the mizbeach. You can, in other words, it's still 100% kosher for the mizbeach, and as a result, you'd have to wait for another mum to develop in order to allow it for personal use. Boy Ravach Tavuy Bar Ami. This section of Gemara deals with that which we've written in under our nosei, our topic heading in the outside margin. We are going to deal with a she'ela question. Ha'im yesh chisorin eiver mi bifnim lefsuli mi'al gabi hamizbeach. Do we have to reckon with a missing organ as something that would render it unfit for being offered on the Mizbeach as a sacrifice? The Gemara itself will be preoccupied with this till the top of the next Omid, of Lamites Omid Beis. Boy Ravach Tavuyeh Bar Ami, Yesh Mechusar Ever Mibifnim, Oy Ein Mechusar Ever Mibifnim. Mechusar Ever is it's missing an organ. An animal that's missing an organ, that's an internal organ, does that constitute a chisaron, an absence, or not? Lemai, when you say an absence, well, with regard to what topic? E lebechor, if it's an issue of the absence of an inner organ, would enable you to slaughter a bechor. Not true, though. Pisech o iver ksiv. The Torah speaks about lame and blind. These are things that are goluy, that are obvious. So only if it has an obvious, an galui, an external type of lacking, would I be able to slaughter. Not just because there's an organ missing. E lekotchim, and if your issue of mechusar aver is a question regarding general sacrifices, averis o shavur ksiv. Once again, those are averis or shavur, so blindness or broken limbs. These are things that are obvious. They're not internal. So we don't know regarding what is Rav Achdavuye Bar Ami directing his question concerning mechusar aver bifnim. So the Gemara goes on, le'ishchute u'le'ifruki lo ibaya li. As far as slaughtering a b'chor outside the Beis HaMikdash, or allowing the redemption of it, that's not a question to me. Ki mibaya li, what is a problem for me? Lifsuli mai. Does it become puzzle when it's missing an internal organ? Does it become puzzle for being offered as a korban, or maybe not even that. Maybe it doesn't affect even that. So the Gemara goes on analyzing the question with two parts. We call this the Aleph Oidilma Beis structure. Tomim ye l'ratzon amrachmona. The Torah speaks about it being tomim, means blemish free. Tomim in chisaron loy. So, should we take this pasuk of Tomim, Yeh L'Ratzon, is coming to exclude the case of an internal, it's not Tomim, it's if it have, even if it has an internal absence, and something is missing internally. And as a result of this side of the question, we're saying Tomim in, Chisaron lo, even if the Chisaron happens to be internal. Oy Dilma, Tomim Yeh L'Ratzon, Kol Mum lo Yeh Boy. Or do we emphasize this? Ma mum mevroi, just like a mum is something that's external, af chisaron mevroi, so too chisaron would have to be something that's external. So going over this, the two sides here, the tamim yilerotzon side of the question would say, only if it's complete, but not if it's missing. Even if the absence has to be something internal, that would constitute a reason for passing it from the Mizbeach, for rendering it unfit as a sacrifice. Or you might emphasize this other pasuk, which this other aspect of the pasuk, which compares this tomim to the issue of mum. Just like mum is external, so to chisaron must be external. And if it's internal, it wouldn't render it unfit. Toshma. We have the Gemara itself presents two Tanaic sources that seem to be at odds with one another, and as a result of what we're about to see, there is we will see that the issue seems to be a machloikis. So we have labeled the two sources with Aleph and Beis so that we can refer back to them when learning the Gemara. Toshma, the Eshtei Hakloyos. The Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Zayin Pasuk Dalet, says, and we have written the Pasuk on the side of the Gemara, the inside margin, it says, V'eshtei ha-kloyos, v'es ha-chilev, asher alehen, asher al-ha-ksalim, v'es ha-yoseres, al-ha-koved, al-ha-kloyos, yisirena. It's to be removed and offered on the altar. So the first source says, V'eshtei ha-kloyos, v'loi baal kulyo achas, v'lo baal sholosh kulyos. We are going to accept an animal and as a sacrifice, something that has two kidneys, and not one that's a baal kuya achas, it has only one. Betanya idach, there's another source that says, yesirena, l'rabois baal kuya achas, that we will include as an acceptable sacrifice an animal that has only one kidney. So the first source, Aleph source, says, v'lo baal kuya achas. The Bay source says, l'rabois baal kuya achas. How do you account for this difference? Savrua, the kuli alma ein bria ba'achas. The assumption is that you don't have a creature that has only one kidney. Something's not created or not born with only one. So how can you have a source that says we'll include a as an acceptable animal, and with that which has only one kidney. V'ha mechsar chuser. This must be an animal that really is missing its second kidney. So, being that that's the case, so we're describing in these sources an animal that couldn't have been born that way, but rather we're describing animals that are missing one. So, lemo v'ha komifugi. Demar sovar chisorim bifnim shmei chisorim. The Aleph source that says it's unacceptable, which said it said below bal kuyachas, that's because he says that something that's missing, that's of an internal absence, is considered something that's choser, and hence it's not acceptable. Marsover, the second source, holds chisoron bifnim lo shmei chisoron. Since the absence is something of an internal nature, it doesn't constitute an absence. It's not considered a chisoron. So then, what we have done here is the issue that Rav Achdavuya Bar Ami raised a few lines up concerning Mechuser Eivra Bifnim. If we were to pause here, it would come out that it's a Machlokes Tanoim. The Tanaic source Aleph saying that Chisorim Bifnim is a Chisorim, and hence a Balkui Achas is an unfit. And the second source, the Bay source, which is L'Rabo is Balkui Achas, saying that Chisorim Bifnim is Lo Ishme Chisorim, is not a problem. The Gemara goes on, building up in a build-up fashion each stage as the Gemara unfolds, and you'll notice we have numberings that appear in the text and also on the side of the Gemara to help you keep track of each stage of analysis. Omar Rav Chiyo Bar Yosef, Dekuli Almo Yesh Bria Ba'achas. Everyone agrees. This is, like we said before, that let's correct ourselves. Everyone here agrees, unlike we said before, that yesh bria b'achas, an animal could be born with only one kidney. V'chisoron mibifnim shmei chisoron. And if something is missing internally, it's considered an absence. And not that it's a machlokis, but rather it's unanimous. So if we establish these two points that everyone holds, an animal is created with one, and something that's missing internally is a chisaron. So how do we resolve these two sources? Velo kashya, kan kishinivro b'shtayim v'chosru. The first source that says Baal Kliachas is excluded is there the animal was created with two and it ended and one got lost. Kan kishinivra ba'achas mekora. The second source, which we said L'Rabba's Baal Kliachas, that's an animal that was created initially with only one kidney. The Gemara asks, how can you say that that's the pshat in that first source? In the Aleph source, you're saying it was created. We explained the first source as it having been born with two and then one is missing, but v'ha dumya d'sholosh katani. In Moker, in that first Moker, there is also the case of three. If it had three, now that is ma sholosh meikara, just like three is something that it had at the outset. Achas meikara, so too the case of kuli achas in that source was where it had one at the outset. And not like you answered two lines before that source Aleph was talking about, I guess, was born with two and one got lost. So at this point, then, we have to say that both sources are dealing with it being born with only one. So if both sources are talking about the same circumstances, so what's the point of difference? Elohocha b'yesh bria ba'achas komifligi. The point of difference will be, do you find animals created or born with one? More sovar yesh bria ba'achas. The second source that says, we're marbe bal kliachas, that's the way it was born, and hence it's not a problem. Umor sovar ein bria ba'achas. The first source is of the opinion that animals are not born with only one. So if you find only one, that's a sign that it is an actual loss. It's missing. And once again, we're showing that the issue of chisaron libifnim is not a machlokes. V'Rabbi Yochanan Omar, dekuli alma ein bria ba'achas. Everyone will agree, animals are not born with just one. V'chisaron mi bifnim shmei chisaron, and something that's lacking of an internal lacking represents a problem. So that if you are going to take this approach, everyone, both sources will agree, it's not born with one. So if you find only one, it's something is missing. And we're also establishing that something that's internally missing is a problem, is considered a lacking. So how can you have a source saying that it's acceptable? V'lo kashya, kan shechosra koidim shchita, kan shechosra lachar shchita. If the lacking arose prior to the slaughtering, then it's puzzle. That's what source Aleph said. If the lacking arises only after it's been slaughtered, and when it was slaughtered as a sacrifice, both kidneys were there, then it's okay. The Gemara asks, "Ulachar shchita koidim kabola mishori," and using the last example we had, that if at the point it was slaughtered, we're saying that both kidneys were there and it got lost afterwards, that is okay. How can you say that? If the lacking took place, the absence of the kidney took place after it's slaughtered, before the receipt of the blood, kabolas adam, would that be allowed? V'ha'omar, Rabbi Zera Marav, hatzorim, oizen, hapar. If a person made a notch in the ear of the par of the kohen, which is a korban, v'achakach kibel domoi, and then collected the blood after the shechita, there's kabbalas adam. Well, puzzle, this wouldn't be acceptable. Shneamar velokach midam hapar. For kabbalas adam, you have this pasuk, and it means hapar shohoya kvar, that when you're doing kabbalas adam, it has to be complete. So we see from here that the fact that both kidneys were there at the time of Shechita is not enough. Both would have to be there at the time of Kabbalas Adam as well. So how do we resolve the two sources? Elo, kan shechosur kodim Kabbalah, kan shechosur lachar Kabbalah. Source Aleph that says it's puzzle is that the absence took place after the Shechita, but before Kabbalas Adam. So when the Kabbalas Adam was taking place, when the collection of the blood of the sacrificed animal, when it's taking place, the kidney, this, one of the two got lost. Kan shechosru l'achar Kabbalah. The Bay's source, which says that a kuyachas is okay, that's when the absence or the loss took place after the receipt of the blood. The Gemara now asks, Ula'achar Kabbalah, Koidem Zriko Mishori, you just got finished telling us that if the absence of the second Kuya took place after Kabbalas Adam, then it's okay. Is that really so? After the receipt, but prior to the sprinkling of the blood, if something is missing, would that be all right? The Hotanya, we have the following source, which will ultimately teach us that the animal has to be complete even when the zriga is taking place. The Hotanya, the pasuk says, "Set tamim zocher ben shana yelochem." From this we learn, "Shei tamim ben shana bishas shchita." It must be blemish free and 1 year old at the time of the slaughtering. Uminayin bekabola v'hilocha v'hazoya. And how do we know that we have to apply these standards of tamim ben shana to all of these procedures? Tamad lomar v'yihya sheyu kol havusav. The pasuk says that yeah, it shall be that all of its all of the actions leading to the establishing it of as a kosher sacrifice, it has to be tam, blemish free, uben shana, and within a year of age. What do we see from this discussion? We see that there's a hakpoda on tmimus even after the, or when the Zrikas Hadam is taking place. And not like we said before, that it's sufficient that there is completeness at the time of blood receipt, and afterwards we don't care. We see that's not true. The Gemara says, really, it is true. Tirgama ben Shana. The idea that it has to be, that we have a standard that it has to meet. At the time of Zrika, we're saying that it has to be within a year of its age at the time of Zrika. But not does not have to be Tomim. Hachi nami mistabra. And this Hesber, this is likely. Desanya, the source says, Rabbi Shua Omer, kol hazvachim shebetorah. Let's just go over this last point. Hochinam is stabro, that if there's a lacking that takes place after Kabbalah Saddam, it's okay. Rabbi Yeshua says in this source, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kol hazvachim shebetorah shenishtayer mehem kezayas basar kezayas chelev zorek asadam. All sacrifices in the Torah that there remains even an olive quantity of meat. Basically, the whole sacrifice is missing with the exception of one olive quantity of meat. That is enough to warrant Zrikas Hadam, the sprinkling of the blood. Shema Mino. So this shows us, like we answered before, that our main concern is that there is completeness at the time of Kabbalah Saddam. If there a lacking arises after Kabbalah Saddam, that's okay. In our discussion, we mentioned that it has to be a year old, not only at the time of the shechita, of the slaughtering, but also during the receipt and the carrying of the blood and the sprinkling. And we give you a pasuk to get that point across. It would seem to me, that says the Gemara, that since you're telling me that you have to have this, we would exclude a situation that it was, let's say, within a year of age at the time of shechita, and in a few minutes later, it already passes a year, and that at the time you were doing the sprinkling. And the Torah is telling me that would not be acceptable. But how could that be? How could it change in age from the time you do the shechita till the time you do the zrika? When you process a korban, it has to all be done on the same day. You can't slaughter the korban on one day and the next day do the sprinkling of the blood. Umi iko midi, could it be the bishas shechita havi ben shana ubishas kabbalah v'alocha havi ben shtei shanim, that at the time of shechita, could it be that it's within a year, and at the time you're collecting the blood or carrying the blood, it's ben shtei shanim, means it passed its year of age. So the Gemara answers, yes, this is in fact a real possibility, and the Torah is saying you can't use a korban if that situation arises. Amar Rava, Zois Omeres, this shows us, Shois Poislois Bekotchim. Shois means the age of an animal is determined not only by the day on which it's born, but by the hour on which it's born. So that if you have an animal that's born on the 1st of Nisan at 12 noon, you have a requirement to bring that sacrifice before it passes its first year of age, that means the next Aleph Nisan, you better finish all of the procedures, the Shechita, the Kabbalah, the Halacha, and the sprinkling before 12 noon of that next Aleph Nisan. Lema Ketanoi. Can we say that this issue of Mechusar Eiver Mibifnim is a Machloikes Tanoyim? In this Tanaic source, which is brought to demonstrate that Mechusar Eiver Mibifnim maybe is a Machloikes Tanoyim, we will be discussing the male organ of an animal. With regard to the male organ, there is the testicle area that's contained within a tissue or skin that's called a scrotum, and there is the organ itself. So the pasuk describes the problems that could arise in this area of the animal's anatomy. Umouch v'kosus v'nosuk v'korus. kulon, we skip the brackets because that which is contained in the brackets is not clear, and we'll come back to that later. He says kulon af bebeitzim. All of these can affect not only the male organ, but the testicles as well. There are four problems described here, and they have relevance to the beitzim as well. The words mo'uch would be something that's crushed, kosus is something that's not just crushed, but it's dissolved. Nosuk is something that has been completely ripped out by hand, but it's still contained in the scrotum. And korus is, Rashi says, something cut with a knife, and it's still partially attached. In other words, the testicles are attached to the body through tubes, and they're still partially attached. The source goes on, Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv Oimer, Kulon Begid. All of these problems, Moch, Kosus, Nosuk, because are relevant with regard to the male, to the organ. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Moch, the Kosus, Af, Bebeitzim. These two phenomena affect even the testicles. Nosuk, Bekorus, Begid, in Bebeitzim, Lo. However, Nosuk and Korus are something that have relevance to the Gid only, and not to the Beitzim. My lav behalkom iflugi. So, in looking at these shitos, we think to say that the following is the point of difference. The morsovar, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that these problems constitute a mum only. He says, even with regard to the beitzim, chisaron mibifnim shmei chisaron. If something is missing that's of an internal nature, and the beitzim are viewed as internal, so they do constitute a problem. Hence, these deficiencies, when affecting the beitzim, constitute a problem. Umor savar, Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv, who said it's all restricted to the organ, and not the beitzim, because lo shmei chisaron, something that's of an internal nature, a lacking that's internal, would not be considered a lacking. The Gemara asks, all right, but v'tizbara, how about this, the third shita that we saw here, Rabbi Yossi maikos sovar, what does Rabbi Yossi hold? Remember, he had this type of compromise approach. So we ask, "E kosavar chisaron mibefnim shmei chisaron," that a lacking that's internal is considered a mum, is considered a lacking. Then afilu nosuk v'korus nami. Then even those things should be a problem by the baits and by the testicles. And he says that nosuk v'korus is something that applies only to the gid. V'i kosavar loi shmei chisaron, and if you say that internal lacking is not considered a chisaron, then afilu moch v'kosus nami lo, then even the phenomena known as crushed and dissolved should not be a factor when dealing with the beitzim, and yet he says it is. So the Gemara says elo hocha b'mumin shebegoloi komiflegi. The machlokes tanoim here is not dealing with something called a chisaron bifnim. This whole area is classified as something that is golui, that is visible. We'll call it external or visible, as opposed to our previous sugya that dealt with the missing kidney, which was purely internal. How is this to be classified as relating to Golui? Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Moch v'kosus havi mumo. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that everything, all four of these phenomena, do affect the beitzim. How is it golui? Well, he says Moch v'kosus is considered a mum even with regard to the beitzim, the testicles, the mich vitzon, because if the testicles are crushed or dissolved, so the scrotum is contracts, mich vitzon, it contracts, shrivels up, if you will, and so it's visible. It's something you can see, and hence it is a mum, or it is considered a problem, a mum. Nosuk v'korus have muma deha talion. If the testicles are ripped out of place, or they are even severed, partially severed. They're dangling. They're not tightly attached anymore. So that even though they're contained in the scrotum, but they're hanging down there, and hence you can see it. It's galui. Rabbi Lozer ben Yankiv Sofar, he says that these things do not posel the beitzim. Why not? Moch v'kosus lo havi muma d'me'ikoranami zimnin d'michvitzan. Even the reason that the was crushed and dissolved in the case of the beitzim doesn't constitute a mum is because oftentimes, even before anything happens to the animal, sometimes animals have a shriveled or contracted type of scrotum. And nosuk v'koros loy havi muma. With regard to severed or completely cut or partially severed, also is not a mum. You said that, well, it's dangling. Says, well, to me, koronami is in Italian. There's some animals that have that anyway, that they're hanging down low, and it doesn't look like an oddity. And hence, it's not a mum. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Mo'uch v'kosus have muma, d'ho lesnu, if it's crushed or dissolved, it's a mum, because they're just not there. And that's considered a lacking. Nosuk v'korus lo have muma, d'ho isnu, if there's this severing of the tubes, that is not a mum, because the testicles are there. The Mishnah goes on to more problems with regard to the area of gender organs. Nifgam hazoiven, the membrane of the, this is the outer skin in which the organ is contained, if it's mutilated, that o ha'arya shel nekeva, or the female organ of gender is mutilated. B'mukdashim, and mukdashim means other sacrifices, because when you're dealing with a bechor, there are no females. A bechor comes only from a firstborn male animal. Nifgam hazonov min ho'etzem, avolo min haperek. If the tail is mutilated at a point of the bone and not at an area of a joint, oy shiroish zonov matzil etzem, or at the tip of the tail, there is a split in the bone. O shiyesh bosar bein chulya lechulya maloy etzba. Or there is meat or flesh between the vertebrae the size of an etzba. That would be a problem. Amar Rav Elazar, nifgam veloy nital. The zovan, if it's nifgam, if it's mutilated, that is a mum. However, not if it's removed. In other words, if it's mutilated, it won't get better. However, if it's removed, it grows back. It regenerates, and hence that wouldn't be a mum. Kis veloy zachrus. The Rashi says, kis im nifgam, if the scrotum is mutilated, have mum. Aval zachrus gid atzmoi shenifgam lav mum hu. If the organ itself that's contained within the zoven is mutilated, that's not a mum demal aruka, because that is capable of healing. Tanyo nami hochi, we have a Tanaic source that supports this. Nifgam velo nital. Only if it's mutilated, if the zoven is mutilated, not if it's removed. Kiss velo zachrus, only if the kiss is mutilated is there a mum, not if the zachrus, the organ itself. Omar Rabbi Yossi ben Amshula, Maisa be'inbal, there was an incident in this place called Inbal, be'echod shenokloi ze'ev, v'chozar le'esano, where a wolf actually removed all of the zoiven, the membrane, and it grew back. Nifkemo hazonov min ho'etzem, and the Mishnah said, Bein chuyo l'chuyo maloy etzba. Tana. There is a Tanaic source that deals with this dimension called etzba, and it says, etzba she'omru, the etzba that has been spoken about, echod me'arba betefach shel kol adam, it's one-fourth of a handbreadth of a person. It's basically, without getting into too much detail, a handbreadth is measured by fingers. But depending on which finger you measure a hand breadth, you'll come out with a different number of fingers. So in this case, the thumb is a thick finger, so 4 thumb breaths would equal a tefach. Now, this source is said, we'll say, in a vacuum, as far as the Gemara is concerned. So the source says the etzba that they spoke about. So the Gemara asks, Lamai Hilchasa, regarding what halacha is this source talking? You will see we have diamonds in this sugya, and they introduce different opinions as to what this source is referring to. Rabba is the first, and you see two lines from Bam Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua refers to another area of halacha that this issue has relevance. So Rabba says, Omar Rabba, the inyan tcheles, this idea of an etzba being measured by in terms of a thumb has relevance with regard to tcheles. Tcheles is tzitzis. Desanya, kamo chutin hunosein. How many strings are inserted into a garment when making tzitzis? Beishamai omrim arba'ol, beishil omrim shlosha. Beishamai says 4 strings are inserted into the hole that is at the corner of a 4-cornered garment, and beishil says 3 strings are inserted. The kamo tehe mishal sheles, how much must the strings be hanging down? And here we're not going to get into all of the details involved with tzitzis making, but the Rashi here says mishuleshes tuya lamata mikonaf abegin. The tzitzis are inserted not at the very edge of a garment, but somewhat set in from the very edge. How much beyond the edge of the garment must the tzitzis descend? Beyond the edge is the emphasis here. Beis Shammai Omrim Arba'o. Reish Shammai says 4. And Beis Hillel Omrim Shalosh. We're talking in terms of this. These are finger measures. So Beis Shammai says 4 fingers, and Beis Hillel says 3. V'sholosh she'amru Beis Hillel, the 3 fingers extended beyond a garment edge that Beis Hillel spoke about, is echod me'arba betefach shel ko'odim. It's a 3 fingers, one of which would be 1/4 of a tefach. So how do you have 1 finger constituting 1/4 of a tefach? That is if you're measuring in terms of thumb widths. So Beis Hillel says that the tzitzis must hang down 3 thumb widths beyond the edge of the garment. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.